reading from Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to 21 and 30 to 39. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Praise and glory to God. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as you know, some famous Christians can be quite complex characters. And today I want to briefly talk about one of those. I want to talk about Hannah More, a poet and writer who lived in England from 1745 to 1833. Her father was a customs officer and later a school teacher. She received a good education from an early age and eventually taught at a private girls' school run by her sisters. She gave that up to marry, but the engagement was broken off, and her fiancé instead gave her an annuity so that she could live comfortably. Now, that seems to be right out of a Jane Austen novel, doesn't it? It seems those sort of things did happen. Well, this annuity gave her the freedom to write, and write she did. Her plays and poems became very successful in the 1770s. She moved to London and was part of high society there, moving in the highest literary circles and also in the social stratosphere there. But then in 1779, her patron or protector died, and a disillusionment with the theatre and London society set in. Well, Hannah had always been a God-fearing woman, had attended church and observed the Sabbath, as you know, a good British citizen should, but that respectable religion was no longer enough. She wrote, "The more I see of the honored, famed, and great, the more I see of the littleness, the unsatisfactoriness of all created good. No earthly pleasure can fill up the wants of the immortal principle within." So gradually, Hannah turned from the outward duty of attending church to find peace with God through faith alone. She wrote many books, pamphlets, and tracts about the social issues of her time, especially about the need of Christians to turn from outward observance of religious rituals to a true faith. She maintained that a Christian life is not one of going to church occasionally and giving to worthy causes, while indulging in excesses of luxury, costly diversions, and intemperate dissipation. No, when a Christian faith flourishes in a person, it runs through the entire life. It gives new value to all their actions and new character to all their views. Christian faith needs to be seen in the whole of our lives. We really need to trust and hope in God beyond everything else. Now, she wrote quite a bit of that, and you can imagine that such sentiments were not that welcome by the English upper class, and she received quite some criticism. Well, Hannah More became associated with William Wilberforce and the Clapham sect, and worked with them to bring about the abolition of slavery and the reformation of manners. She did that largely by the means available to her, that is, by writing. For example, she wrote novels that encouraged young men and women to seek godliness in their lives and when looking for a partner, to look for a godly husband or wife. She promoted the education of all classes of society and established 16 schools. Well, some of her views would be seen as somewhat controversial today. For example, she thought that women would not be fit to govern the country, and that the advancement of female education in France was somewhat over the top. Well, in the face of the French Revolution and social unrest in England, she wrote several pamphlets arguing against revolutionary change and outlining dangerous consequences. Some writers have since suggested that it can be argued that no one played a more important role in preventing revolution in late 18th and early 19th century Britain than did Hannah More. Well, she died in late 1833, just little over a week after the Slavery Abolition Act was passed in the British Parliament. So she just saw that, and that's, well, when she left life, just a week later. And yes, she was a complex character and a woman of her times, but through that, she professed a strong faith in Jesus, even against the criticism of those around her, and she called them back to faith. Now, in our own times, a confession of Jesus as our Lord and God of the world would look a bit different, I think. We would not use the same language nor the same means, and the issues to be addressed might be different as well. I'm not so sure whether people attending church mainly to appear respectable, whether that's quite such an issue as today as it was back then. Well, of course, there are issues in the church today, and there are Christians that are full of hypocrisy. And I do pray that God will send people to speak to those. But I'm not sure it's quite the same issue as it was back in the late 18th century. Our readings today tell of two people confessing God among those who had fallen away from God or did not recognize Jesus. We're talking about Elijah and Peter. Well, with Elijah, Israel had fallen away from God, particularly under King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. There was even active persecution of the Lord's prophets at that time. With the support of the king and queen, devotion to Baal had become commonplace in Israel, and many shrines had been built. This was the new state religion promoted by the palace. So it's in that climate that Elijah risked everything and spoke to King Ahab and challenged Ahab to summon the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel for a showdown. The strange thing is that Ahab actually agreed to it. Maybe he assumed that the prophets of Baal would show Elijah up. Maybe he still had some respect for Elijah. We don't know why, but King Ahab agreed to this contest, and the prophets of Baal came to Mount Carmel. The challenge was to prepare a bull for a sacrifice and to ask their god to send down fire. Well, the prophets of Baal did so, prepared a bull on an altar, and called for Baal to send down fire. Nothing worked, even though they got into a state of frenzy. After that, Elijah had an altar built, placed the wood on it, and then the bull, and had it all drenched with water three times. Elijah prayed that the Lord would hear his prayer to show that the Lord is God. The fire miraculously consumed the sacrifice and the altar, and the people did recognize that the Lord is God. Elijah put a lot on the line to turn the people from idols to God. He confessed God. Now, I don't think that such a contest would be the best way to confront a people today to bring them close to God. But like Elijah, are we prepared to put a lot on the line to profess God before others? And in our gospel, we heard about Peter. Peter also gave a good confession that he had realized and trusted that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In the face of all sorts of opinions by the people generally, he saw clearly that through Jesus, God had brought salvation. Well, unlike Elijah's, the confession that we read about in our gospel was not a public confession. Peter first said it when he was together with Jesus and the other disciples, no one else. But this confession affected the rest of Peter's life. From then on, Peter lived out the consequences of that faith. Well, we know that sometimes he didn't live up to it, but nevertheless, he always came back to Jesus, whom he trusted and believed in. But this confession was not just Peter being particularly insightful. Rather, it was the work of God in Peter. Through God, the reality of Jesus was revealed to Peter and his faith confirmed. That changed his life and the lives of millions of others. It would enable God to use Peter to bring others to Christ, to build a church, to increase the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Yes, that faith changed Peter's life, but this faith then worked outwards to affect the lives of many others. So a confession is not so much about being right, but rather about changing lives, our own lives and those of others. It is about our faith running through our whole lives, so that it affects everything we think and do and also is shown to others. Elijah knew that, Peter came to realize it, Hannah Moore understood it, and so many saints through the ages have experienced it. May we also confess Christ as our Lord and Savior and live out that confession. Amen.